10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Coming up tonight, you and I are going to talk about snow. Are you experiencing snow right now as you're driving? I want to know about it. I'll give you my number in just seconds.
There's an old guy who's on the air, and they call him Sterling. The boss has hired him on a dare, and they call him Sterling. Kind of hip, kind of odd.
Sterling.
Kind of smart, kind of strange.
Sterling.
A different show that's here to stay, and they call it
Every damn
night. It's a live radio show, coast to coast. Walter M. Sterling live right now, every damn Sunday. It is 10:09 on the East Coast, and you and I are talking to Sergeant Denny Shervin. Welcome, Sergeant. Welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday.
Well, I'm damn glad to be here, Walter. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, now listen, Sergeant Shervin is a Purple Heart recipient for his time in Vietnam. And you get all sorts of bloviating people like me going on and on about the great work of our veterans and all that. Let's just assume all that. And I'm going to go ask some down to warfield questions that I've always wanted to hear veterans talk about. Your day in Vietnam, Sergeant Shervin, your day in Vietnam, would you describe your day from the time you woke up? What time was that? And then what happened? Could you do that for us?
Sure. Well, a typical day in the field in Vietnam was after a grueling night of guard duty in a foxhole. Usually we had two people to a foxhole, two guys, and it was an hour watch on and an hour off. So you would go to sleep right behind the foxhole or in the foxhole while your buddy kept watch. And this went on all night long. And so at the break of day, it was daylight, get up, empty your sandbags that you had in front of your foxhole, bring in your claymore mines, eat if you could, take care of your bathroom difficulties or whatever, and be ready to move out, because it's a shortly after the break of dawn, we pretty much move right out again. And then go, as we called it in the service and in the Army, hump the hills, the jungle. So it was pretty grueling, and that was pretty much the routine. And all day long, it was just hump the hills. And if you ran into the enemy, you ran into the enemy. And but many, many days, it was just fighting the jungle and so forth. The jungle, the heat, all that.
Sergeant Shervin, how long were you stationed in Vietnam?
I was there for 1 year. I got there in October of 67 and came home in October of 68.
Were you there for Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you see Bob Hope?
Actually, I did see Bob Hope.
He came and performed for you guys. He always brought a hot babe with him. Who did he bring with him? Do you remember?
Well, Raquel Welsh, and I'll never forget.
Yes.
And Raquel Welsh passed away a few years ago, I believe, but I've been a big fan of hers ever since. You know, it was wonderful. And
now, when you have Raquel Welsh on stage with Bob Hope, what exactly does she do? What does she do?
Well, she doesn't really have to do much. I mean, huge crowd of GIs, and she came out and danced and joked with Bob Hope, that's for sure. But, geez, I was very fortunate to get to see the show, because we had just come back into a little base camp south of July, and they picked about five guys to go back, and I was one of them, and I got on a chopper covered with mud and grime and everything else, and they flew us right back to Chu Lai, right on the South China Sea, and we got into the mob of grunts and soldiers that were there to see the show, and we were so far back we needed binoculars to see. But I did get to see Raquel Welsh and Bob Hope, and that was quite a thrill.
I'm sure it was. You and I are talking to Denny Shervin, Sergeant, Purple Heart Vietnam Army. An honor to have you, sir. But how do you think us civilians should salute veterans on Veterans Day, which is September 11th? And many cities had parades this weekend. But when, you know, when some idiot you don't know goes, hey, well, you know, thanks for your service, I'm like, shut up. Don't say that to him. You don't know him. He may be annoyed that you even exist. Don't assume that us civilians should be saying, hey, thanks for our service. What would you rather hear? And how do you feel the holiday should be recognized?
Well, I think the holiday is recognized very well these days. I mean, there's all sorts of ceremonies going on here, there, and everywhere. There's a number of them in Delaware. I just got an email about one going on in Dover, Delaware, the capital of Delaware. So there's quite a few. But, you know, to be honest with you, after Vietnam, you know, Vietnam soldiers, when we came back, you know, it was less than grateful appreciation. And so we all carry this around that, you know, we weren't appreciated and we were kind of shunned in many, many ways and told to be quiet and stay out of the way. So nowadays, everything's different. And people do come up and say thank you for your service. And for someone that went through that Vietnam and all that animosity when we came back, it is appreciated. It is appreciated. And you had mentioned to me about kind of focusing on one particular reason why we should celebrate this day that honors veterans. And it didn't take me long to identify the, you know, like the one fundamental overarching reason, and that's gratitude. I mean, there was a ton of sacrifices made, you know, in war and so forth, and especially being in the service. And during all these wars in the Middle East, I mean, we had 1 year to serve in Vietnam. The Marines had 13 months, but we had one year. And as bad as it was, in comparison to what the soldiers went through in the last decade or so in the Middle East, I mean, these guys were being called back tour after tour after tour. And it took a heavy, heavy toll on the veteran himself and also his family and relationships and marriages, all that. So, I mean, veterans, you know, when you see a veteran, you gotta kind of remember all these heavy duty sacrifices and painful sacrifices that went into serving. And many of us, many veterans today, you know, they're still suffering with that. They still have a difficult time coping from day to day. You know, there's only about 7% of the U.S. population today that are veterans. So that leaves about 93% left that didn't serve. So that's a pretty lopsided figure. And that's a lot of people doing a lot of things for a lot of good and a little bit of recognition. Now the veterans don't go out of their way to look for, I mean, it's just like a marriage in a way. I mean, you know, you're married and if you never thank your spouse or show your appreciation or love for what he or she is doing in that marriage, you know, the hard feelings start to develop.
Right.
So, yeah, after all that Vietnam stuff, people remember that. But it's refreshing for a Vietnam veteran to see how much the country has come full circle and
right,
or come around, and they're so appreciative of veterans. That's a
Sergeant,
good thing.
Sergeant Denny Shervin, Purple Heart, Vietnam Army. Sergeant, thank you for my freedom of speech. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
A stiff at Strokers. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out about the Oklahoma fugitive that was on the run for 13 years before he got caught. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. All was quiet at our house. Then the dang stove blew up.
Actually, like, there was a pop, a blow up, a little bit of a mini explosion.
Coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Keep it classy, customers. Details later. The people of Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
A great way to
It was great to talk to Sergeant Denny Shervin, S-H-I-R-V-I-N, and I thank Father Jim Drucker, the rock and roll priest and captain in the Air Force and Afghanistan veteran, for putting me in touch with Sergeant Shervin. Now that we were in touch with Sergeant Shervin, I know why he wanted me to talk to him. He was an excellent spokesman. Now, many very smart businesses are offering veterans free meals this weekend. Some of them, I'm sure it's just on Veterans Day, which is the 11th, but I suspect many of them are doing more than that. I have posted them on Facebook. If you go to Walter Sterling, there's a list of national chain restaurants that are offering free meals to America's veterans. And I salute them and I thank them. And what a smart and wonderful thing that is. And when you look down that list, don't assume that your favorite restaurant, if it's not there, isn't offering something for the veteran. Don't assume that. They don't all get their names on lists. They don't all have the right PR people. This is a robust list. I looked at it. I worked on it. And I hope that if you're a veteran, that you will take a look at the list, Walter Sterling on Facebook, and see if a restaurant near you is on that list, and go in and present your I served credential, and you'll get a free meal. Why not do that? Those of us who may be over 50, you know, this is not analogous, all I did is get older, but, you know, I go into Dunkin' Donuts, and I say senior discount, and I don't have to show anything. That's what annoys me. They take one look and they give me the coffee or the discount. What did I get today? I got like a bagel and cream cheese and coffee. Got 50 cents off. Now you might thinking, Walter Sterling, why do you need 50 cents off? I don't, but I deserve the credit that comes with it. What I don't understand about Dunkin' Donuts, perhaps you can explain this, is incredible inconsistencies. Oh, we don't do a senior discount. We don't do that. We don't do a senior discount. Or worse, sometimes I've gone into Dunkin' Donuts, ordered the coffee and the bagel, and I'll look on the receipt, and there's the senior discount, and I didn't ask for it. What could be worse than that? They just assumed I was old enough for the senior discount. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and the good news is no one yet has said, oh, you have a lovely granddaughter. I haven't gotten to the point of, oh, that's a lovely granddaughter. We're not quite there yet. It's snowing throughout much of North America. If it is snowing where you're driving, I need a report. America needs to know. I'd like to know about the snow you're experiencing. Well, you know, it's probably recorded earlier. No, this show is live at 10:25 on the East Coast. Here is my phone number. Give John something to do. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. You want it again? Because I really want you to call. 855-839-1210. And I just would like a report where you're driving, where you're experiencing the snow, and how's it going? Because the first law of good radio is, if it's snowing outside, talk about the snow.
Well, you know, the president is this, and Congress is arguing over this.
No, hi, it's snowing outside. That's what you and I want to talk about. And nothing, I've got a 13-year-old daughter. She's in heaven. Nothing could make that kid happier than recognizing that it's snowing outside. Which brings me to a piece of advice that I was given by the legendary Tommy Woods, a disc jockey on legendary WARM Scranton. But don't let that fool you. It was a monster radio station. It was a freaking monster. And he said, you know, he said on WARM, when it started to snow, we didn't go, oh, no, you know, Black Mariah's coming through. Oh, no, it's the Arctic Circle is visiting Warmland. Oh, no, millions will be freezed out. No, he said, we used to say, hey, it's snowing outside. We're going to get about an inch and a half of snow. Get outside and enjoy the snow. Their attitude was, enjoy the snow. At some horrible point in our history, we devolved from enjoying the snow to Arctic blast coming from Canada. Oh, no, it's from Canada, an Arctic blast from Canada. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. Now, there's a technical term that my people use for these weather conditions. I don't know if you can relate to this at all. My people call it winter. We call it winter. And at any moment, it could snow. Oh, my God. I'm glad that we're down, Simba, about Arctic, whatever it was, freezing. What was it? Global warming. Global warming. Yes, there is global warming, and it has nothing to do with human beings. The arrogance that that takes is just freaking remarkable. So much excitement coming up for you. The number, your snow report. Give me a snow report, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And if you're driving, that's ideal. Then we'd like to know the road condition, where you are. But this is an entertainment show, so if you have any jokes, that's always welcome. I think that's a fair statement. And then we're going to find out... we're going to find out a lot of things tonight. Like I've worked on this show. I'm going to talk about the IEP experience that I just went through. Perhaps you've gone through. Oh, my God. I visited Syracuse University this weekend to see my daughter, the 22-year-old, who should be graduating soon, Dorothy. She got a major award. But, Dorothy, I hope you're graduating soon. Walter Sterling every damn Sunday night. There's Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood in Hollywood. But first, if you're experiencing snow, I want to hear about it now. 855-839-1210. I drove through snow today, driving from New York to Ohio as punishment for all my trips to Los Angeles on I-90, otherwise known as the Luge. I experienced the snow today. And if you're 13, it is a very exciting moment. Otherwise, you may have different thoughts, but I'd like to hear from you about winter, snow. Oh, my gosh. If you're driving through snow, call me, 855-839-1210. Give John something to do. Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, how do you feel being on a national radio show?
I feel great, but I wish I could tell you about snow in California. It's pretty rare here, except in the Sierra Nevada, where we have some pretty good skiing sometimes. But most of the snow in Hollywood in the old days was made out of asbestos before they figured out that that wasn't good for you. And now they make it out of any number of things, paper, styrofoam, all sorts of stuff to sprinkle it on movie sets. It's all phony and make-believe, but it would be nice to see some snow. We'd love to make snow eagles, you know, go out and play in the snow. We occasionally get snow, and then they close down everything because nobody knows how to drive in snow out here. They barely know how to drive in rain in California, let alone snow. So it becomes a national holiday, and kids go out and look at it. They slide in it, and they play with it. And I think it's wonderful. People think it's like magical. And it sure has that feeling in a child's eye, I think, for most Californians.
I was in L.A. in March once, and it rained pretty much the whole day. That was the lead on every newscast, that it rained. You know, how do you deal with this? And then my father is fond of telling the story that he grew up living across the street from a vacant lot, and in the vacant lots was squares of asbestos just lying around and mercury. And he'd play with the mercury and asbestos all day. He lived till 94. He thought that was the funniest. The funniest myth was that these were horrible things. But Mateus has a movie to review. What I didn't see in your list of stars in this movie, are there any women in this movie?
There is a woman in this film, but, you know, there's not a lot of room for sort of a romantic female lead in this movie. There is Wren Schmidt, who plays Elsie in this film, and that's an interesting role. I mean, she plays the wife of Hermann Göring, Hitler's second in command, and that's about as exciting as we get as far as women in this film. And unfortunately, it's pretty much an all-male cast, and the movie is Nuremberg, which, of course, is the German city where the famous Nuremberg trials took place after the Second World War. And although this doesn't focus on the trials like the earlier famous film Judgment at Nuremberg did from decades ago, this specifically looks at the psychiatrist who was charged by the U.S. Army to make sure that Hermann Göring, who was a particularly crafty fellow, stayed alive to be tried and didn't try to knock himself out, and for them to get as much information on him as they could so the attorneys would find some fuel to be able to try him effectively during the course of the tribunal. So it's actually quite fascinating. This psychiatrist is played by Douglas Kelly was the real person's name. Rami Malek plays this character, and Russell Crowe plays Hermann Göring. And that may be kind of hard to imagine, since Russell Crowe plays in all these sword and sandal epics that are sort of ridiculous, and his roles are kind of ridiculous. But here, he turns in a very sensitive and, I'm not going to say chilling, but I'm going to say charming, which makes it that much more nefarious, because when he's that charming, you could see how evil this man really was, or at least one could perceive how evil Hermann Göring was in Second in Command. A fascinating portrayal. Some great actors in here, too, Walter. John Slattery, who many people loved in Mad Men, is Colonel Andrus, who's the army man in charge of keeping these Nazi war criminals alive until they are tried. Colin Hanks plays another psychiatrist. That's Tom Hanks' son, of course. Michael Shannon plays Robert Jackson, the attorney who came up with the idea of having the Nuremberg trials and the tribunal. And so there's some really fine performances all the way around. It's a really solid, well-made movie. And the psychological drama about this psychiatrist who gets sort of sucked in, even though he knows better, into the web of what Göring is trying to convince him of and control him. Well, you're wondering who the hell is analyzing who. So for some good performances, this is really outstanding. And the name of the movie is Nuremberg.
Who plays Colonel Klink?
Well, Oscar Werner, but not Oscar Werner, but that was not Oscar Werner. I can't think of the actor. Werner Klemperer, that was it. Werner Klemperer, who was, by the way, did you know he was an orchestra conductor? He actually used to conduct orchestras in addition to being most famous for being Colonel Klink. But
in
there
Germany?
Is no Colonel Klink in Germany and in the United States. Werner Klemperer, who played Colonel Klink on Hogan's Heroes.
Could you imagine trying to mount Hogan Hero today? Could you imagine trying to get that show sold today?
I don't think they'd be able to do it. I'm surprised they were then. But look at a lot of the shows from the 70s that we couldn't get away with today. I don't know if we could get away with Archie Bunker today, let alone something like Sanford and Son.
I think you'd have better luck with Sanford and Son, honestly. Because if you had black actors saying, yes, this is fine with us, then you could get it produced.
Lesbians in space, sterling every damn night.
I'm Catherine, she, her. I am not a natural redhead, but I do still have a fire crotch.
Wow. Angela Giratana, she, her, here today.
Years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
When it's snowing outside, talk about the snow. I want to hear your experience in the snow tonight. 855-839-1210 with Walter Sterling on Veterans Day weekend.
Here's a story about Sydney Sweeney, who looked hot some jeans, but then the usual suspects started complaining about what the ad actually means. They said it promotes white supremacy because Sydney was talking about her DNA, but all the normal people wished these pink-haired freaks would just all go away. Now American Eagle stock is soaring and Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome, our Midnight Misfits. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Sunday. There's Keith Mortensen, my buddy. So smart, moved from Levittown, Pennsylvania to Florida. He moved to Florida. Janine Plaskin, Malika Hill, New Jersey, John Harrison, Sean Conway, Amber Falkert. Amber in Kansas City. Do you have snow yet in Kansas City? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. 1210, Lynn Murray, Langhorne, Pennsylvania, Sterling, every damn night, Rochester, Minnesota. Well, it's got to be snowing in Rochester, Minnesota. It's always snowing in Minnesota. International Falls, Minnesota, had the coldest day right now. International Falls, Marty Miller. Hi, Marty. Marty Miller is a conductor, and you're a conductor, right, Marty? On the Long Island Railroad. It's an honor that you listen to us on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Thank you, Marty. Dan and Dolores Nostri, Sam Chappies, Michael O. No, I'll do this right. Michael Olasink. Did I get it? I think so. Nick Thomas, Richard Guillermo, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, Joel Tuckman, welcome. These are the Midnight Misfits. Norma Willard of St. Clair, Minnesota. Linda Gianetti, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If I mispronounce that, they will find me. Walter M. Sterling. If you go to my website, Walter Sterling Show, you can become an official Midnight Misfit. You can download and print out a card. It says exactly what qualifies you as a misfit and what you have to do as a misfit. This is not some sort of casual loser club like that country club you've tried to get into for years and you're never going to get into. Hi, let me share that with you. You're never going. Are you a high wasp? Do you smell of ivory soap? Is every square inch of your clothes man or woman from Brooks Brothers? Maybe Lily Pulitzer, maybe. For the quilted bag. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. This is stuff I know. And I look at you, I'm like, you're never getting into that country club. You got to get the dental work done. And you have to have some extraordinary either skill or source of income. If you have a job, if you want to learn tennis, forget it. They're not going to take. They don't want people who want to learn. They want people who do. I believe this is true for virtually every country club in America. But I digress. I want to know about the snow where you are. You're driving through snow. You see snow coming. You're experiencing it. Your kids are going crazy. They think it's great. I need the snow stories. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. It's live. Live radio doesn't happen anymore, but it does here with Walter Sterling. 855-839-1210. You want to play a contest? You want to win something? Okay. Hold on. Make sure everything's up. Make sure I don't want any trouble. Who's this?
Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
Who is that? It's not your significant other. It's not your girlfriend or your wife or both of them at the same time.
Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
If you can identify that voice and identify who that is, and I'll give you a clue in about 10 minutes, here's what you'll win. You win a Sterling Every Damn Sunday prize package. It includes JB Bakery baked goods, a kazoo, an official Walter Sterling kazoo, a copy of my wife's book, Organize Your Way. That's her book, Organize Your Way, and a pound of Horn and Hardart coffee. What? Yeah, you know, the price of coffee, this is a great deal. That's the prize package. You get a kazoo, my wife's book, Organize Your Way, pound of Horn and Hardart coffee, a gift from JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Did I get everything? Yeah, I did. Who's this?
Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
855-839-1210. Walter M. Sterling. It's about 11:15 on the East Coast. Sterling every damn Sunday.
DeKalb County, Georgia, Atlanta, for our good friends at Atlanta News First. Yeah, it's an exotic dancing place called Strokers. Yeah, it's a strip club. And 4 o'clock in the morning, police heard some shooting. They came on out, and Strokers had a stiff. Feller was outside, dead, and this is sad because he's a beloved resident of Lithonia, Georgia. His name, 31-year-old Gary Matthews. Again, I hate to repeat myself. Nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing good at a strip club ever happens at midnight. And according to Mr. Matthews' stepfather, he said that this guy was celebrating his birthday at Strokers. Strokers has the best birthday celebrations of any strip club in the whole U.S. of A. Now, Matthews was one of four people in a car outside the strip club when two suspects got out of a Jeep. And that Jeep, by the way, had a lot of rubber ducks on the dashboard. Have you ever seen that? Lots of ducks, apparently. Open fire, according to the cops. Police chased the suspect's car but lost it, and the vehicle was later found abandoned. Death is never good. Death that you can avoid is even better. So avoid death. Don't sit in a random car in a parking lot of a strip club at 4 in the morning. Go in, enjoy your time, meet the girls, and the girls at Strokers are awesome, and then head on home, realizing that you've probably had the best night of your life. Mr. Matthews, not so lucky. From the Champagne Room at Strokers, I'm Vilo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Feel the dough, eat the dough. JB Bakery, Salida and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Now, if you feel the actual need to shake hands with a veteran, of which there are surprisingly few, less than 9% of the American population, you can go to J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and meet Father Jim Drucker. Now, Father Jim Drucker was the chaplain in Desert Storm in Afghanistan. He is a captain in the Air Force, the real branch. And he now works in the VA system to help soldiers deal with their lives today. Welcome, Father Drucker, for Veterans Day.
I'm very pleased to be on the air with you to give honor to my brother and sister veterans. And I heard earlier that you had Dennis on the air, Sergeant, Purple Heart recipient and author of many books. So thank you for that, Walter, and God bless you for your work on the air.
Do you know the name of any of his books? Because he was an excellent guest. I thank you.
He had the Short Timer, and his latest book is The Gentleman's Club and The Great Ferris Wheel, a very interesting book. It is a fiction book, but many of the thoughts of his own life as a military person are involved in some of the books. And he also co-authored and helped Dr. Alan Davies, who was a thoracic heart surgeon in Vietnam in combat, saving lives. He helped him put together his book, The Backside of the Firefight. Marvelous book by Dr. Alan Davies.
All right. This is Father Jim Drucker, who is a veteran. I have always thought, don't say that. When I hear people saying, thank you for your service, I'm always like, shut up. You don't know if they want your thanks. I've always thought there must be better things to say. Father Drucker, as a veteran, what would be better to say?
You know, I heard you earlier on the air because I tuned in to hear you and Dennis, which was a marvelous vignette, a nice 10, 15 minutes talking with a veteran. I think I'm kind of in the same ballpark with Dennis in the sense that having served overseas, for someone to acknowledge that, which was not acknowledged during the Vietnam era, and I was not in Vietnam, so that's clear, but I was trained to be there with an M60 machine gun, all kind of weapons, did not go. But I do know the hell that the Vietnam veterans went through, including Dr. Davies. His story is remarkable. So when someone says thank you and welcome home, it does have a meaning to me. Perhaps it doesn't have as much meaning to you as, I don't mean to be offensive, as an outsider, perhaps. And you're right to some degree. People don't know you, but they do if you think about us being in this all together, Walter, and realizing that someone has given their lives to help keep them free democratically and free for the freedom of speech, of religion, and all the things that our country so well gives to so many of us, to all of us citizens.
I have posted, speaking of free, on my Facebook page, Walter Sterling, a list of all of the chain restaurants that are giving veterans free meals this weekend till Monday, till Tuesday. And I put a list of them on my Facebook page. I know you like free meals. You could go to many of these chains and be very happy. Very happy. Now, Father Jim Drucker, speaking of free, he hangs out at J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, which has a spectacular recipe for snickerdoodles. Snickerdoodles, which is like crack for a nine-year-old. And I will send you the J.B. Bakery recipe for snickerdoodles. Just send me a note, Walter Sterling Show. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail for a terrific recipe on snickerdoodles. Now, there's Steve the Baker at JB Bakery and Selena, who's a manager, marketing expert at JB Bakery, and working with an entrepreneur, the man who owns the business, who all entrepreneurs feel omnipotent in that they have to be involved in everything. Have we now gotten to the point, Selena, where when it comes to marketing, promotion, advertising, that the entrepreneur owner is starting to listen to you?
Well, of course. I mean, he has to listen to me. The one thing that you have to remember is that we're from Jersey. So this isn't just, you know, a regular dynamic with a regular entrepreneur and a regular, you know, marketing girl. This is Jersey that we're talking about. So I'm a Jersey girl. He's got to do it the way that I say. And, you know, I know what's good for him. At the end of the day, I have his best interest at heart, and I want to see the business be successful, and I think he knows that. So, yeah, we just I mean, he has his creative input sometimes, but when it comes to marketing, we just do what I want to do.
Now, do you feel that having Father Drucker hang out at your bakery is an asset or a serious liability?
I believe it's definitely an asset. I mean, he puts me in a better mood when he's there. And he talks to so many people. We've talked about it before. He just talks to everybody. It's like he's known them forever, and I've never seen anything like it. And I think that people really appreciate someone who really connects with them. You know, most of the time, like, people will say, thank you for your service, or, you know, how are you? Have a good day. But a lot of the time it feels kind of fake, but I don't think anybody ever feels like that when they interact with Father Drucker. So I think all of our customers appreciate it.
Now, Father Drucker is an ordained Catholic priest who wears the garment, the vestments of a Catholic priest. Do you feel, have you ever caught him insulting Muslims who come in?
I've never caught him doing that, but I mean, I don't know. I've never caught him.
Now, in Jersey, there are Jews. I don't know if you know that, but there are Jews in Jersey. Have you caught him saying anything inappropriate to a person of the Jewish faith?
I have not, but, you know, he knows we have to have the Jews here because they make good bagels.
They're the only ones who make good bagels, and it's quite the challenge. Have you seen a trend in what people want to eat, Father Drucker, when they come in to JB Bakery? Is there a trend to what they're ordering these here days?
I can tell you when they come in, their eyes are Google-eyed. And as soon as they come in, especially if they're new, never been there before, they don't know where to go. Up, down, over, left, right. And even today, I had sent you a picture. There was a man came in as I was going in. He's going and said, are you Father Drucker? I said, yes. He said, I heard you on the Walter Sterling Show. And he started sharing with his wife, Michelle, this is Father Jim, the famous priest of Walter Sterling that mooches. Anyway.
Now, if you go to JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and you say Walter Sterling Show, they will give you a free something. I'm sure it depends on what's sitting around, but they will give you a free something. But today, you can get a recipe from me on Steve's snickerdoodle recipe. What's the highlight of this recipe, Steve?
The snickerdoodle recipe is perfect for this time of year because it's got the cinnamon and the sugar taste. It brings a nice fall feeling. It's easy for misfits to make because it's only a few ingredients. And it's one of those type of cookies that's ready quickly. It fills the kitchen with a nice aroma. And I know you like simple ingredients, but this one's a little complicated. It has cream of tartar in it. A lot of people don't have cream of tartar in their cabinets. But, Walter, I'm telling you, they got to go out or Amazon some cream of tartar and make this cookie, because this cookie with the cream of tartar in it makes it fluffy, like it puffs it up and gives it a chewy and tangy taste to it. So this is the type of cookie that you want to have for your coffee, for your tea. And it's just a well-round cookie, easy to make for misfits. You can even, like, freeze the dough and also bring it out of the freezer and bake it quickly whenever you have people over, or if Father Drucker, you know, raise the samples and I got to refill the samples, I could do it quickly with this cookie.
Well, you raise a very good point. There's no way that I'd ever freeze any of your recipes. They would be gone. And I sure as hell don't want people, quote, coming over. I never want anybody just casually coming over. I can't imagine a greater nightmare. JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. You can find them on Facebook. And I want to know if it's snowing where you are. Call 855-839-1210. Is it snowing where you are? I want a snowing report from you, 855-839-1210, Sterling, every damn. Steve the Baker at JB Bakery, and Selena, who's a manager, marketing expert at JB Bakery, and working with an entrepreneur, the man who owns the business, who all entrepreneurs feel omnipotent in that they have to be involved in everything. Have we now gotten to the point, Selena, where when it comes to marketing, promotion, advertising, that the entrepreneur owner is starting to listen to you?
Well, of course. I mean, he has to listen to me. The one thing that you have to remember is that we're from Jersey. So this isn't just, you know, a regular dynamic with a regular entrepreneur and a regular, you know, marketing girl. This is Jersey that we're talking about. So I'm a Jersey girl. He's got to do it the way that I say. And, you know, I know what's good for him. At the end of the day, I have his best interest at heart, and I want to see the business be successful, and I think he knows that. So, yeah, we just, I mean, he has his creative input sometimes, but when it comes to marketing, we just do what I want to do.
Now, do you feel that having Father Drucker hang out at your bakery is an asset or serious liability?
I believe it's definitely an asset. I mean, he puts me in a better mood when he's there. And he talks to so many people. We've talked about it before. He just talks to everybody. It's like he's known them forever, and I've never seen anything like it. And I think that people really appreciate someone who really connects with them. You know, most of the time, like, people will say, thank you for your service, or, you know, how are you? Have a good day. But a lot of the time it feels kind of fake, but I don't think anybody ever feels like that when they interact with Father Drucker. So I think all of our customers appreciate it.
Now, Father Drucker is an ordained Catholic priest who wears the garment, the vestments of a Catholic priest. Do you feel, have you ever caught him insulting Muslims who come in?
I've never caught him doing that, but I mean, I don't know. I've never caught him.
Now, in Jersey, there are Jews. I don't know if you know that, but there are Jews in Jersey. Have you caught him saying anything inappropriate to a person of the Jewish faith?
I have not, but, you know, he knows we have to have the Jews here because they make good bagels.
They're the only ones who make good bagels, and it's quite the challenge. Have you seen a trend in what people want to eat, Father Drucker, when they come in to JB Bakery? Is there a trend to what they're ordering these here days?
I can tell you when they come in, their eyes are Google-eyed. And as soon as they come in, especially if they're new, never been there before, they don't know where to go. Up, down, over, left, right. And even today, I had sent you a picture. There was a man came in as I was going in. He's going and said, are you Father Drucker? I said, yes. He said, I heard you on the Walter Sterling Show. And he started sharing with his wife, Michelle, this is Father Jim, the famous priest of Walter Sterling that mooches. But anyway.
Now, if you go to JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and you say Walter Sterling Show, they will give you a free something. I'm sure it depends on what's sitting around, but they will give you a free something. But today, you can get a recipe from me on Steve's snickerdoodle recipe. What's the highlight of this recipe, Steve?
The snickerdoodle recipe is perfect for this time of year because it's got the cinnamon and the sugar taste. It brings a nice fall feeling. It's easy for misfits to make because it's only a few ingredients. And it's one of those type of cookies that's ready quickly. It fills the kitchen with a nice aroma. And I know you like simple ingredients, but this one's a little complicated. It has cream of tartar in it. A lot of people don't have cream of tartar in their cabinets. But, Walter, I'm telling you, they got to go out or Amazon some cream of tartar and make this cookie, because this cookie with the cream of tartar in it makes it fluffy, like it puffs it up and gives it a chewy and tangy taste to it. So this is the type of cookie that you want to have for your coffee, for your tea. And it's just a well-round cookie, easy to make for misfits. You can even, like, freeze the dough and also bring it out of the freezer and bake it quickly whenever you have people over, or if Father Drucker, you know, raise the samples and I got to refill the samples, I could do it quickly with this cookie.
Well, you raise a very good point. There's no way that I'd ever freeze any of your recipes. They would be gone. And I sure as hell don't want people, quote, coming over. I never want anybody just casually coming over. I can't imagine a greater nightmare. JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. You can find them on Facebook. And I want to know if it's snowing where you are. Call 855-839-1210. Is it snowing where you are? I want a snowing report from you. 855-839-1210. Sterling, every damn
second. A great way to end your day. Sterling, every day and night.
And that's my phone number, and I want to talk to you about snow. And who could talk to us about snow better than Fairbanks, Alaska? Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Sunday. Hello, Fairbanks.
Hello, Walter. Good evening.
It's exciting to talk to you. And And that radio station up there, what's that station in Fairbanks that airs us?
WKFAR.
What a great radio station. They have been with us since the first week, which means they've been airing it for like 11 years. So thank you. Thank you, affiliate in Fairbanks, Alaska. Please share with us
the snow.
Please share. Do you own the station? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I know the mayor in town, and he has a program every Saturday and every morning from 11 till 12, where you can call in just like calling you in, and you can discuss things. And I'm definitely going to pass that word on to him.
Well, no, I'm deeply grateful for it. What is the big issue that's hitting the mayor's phone lines lately? What is the big issue in Fairbanks?
Well, there was a big issue, but it's done. It was a huge building, a hotel that was rotting away in the center of town, and they did the demolition on it in under a year. But Fairbanks doesn't really have, I mean, there's a typical, you know, school, they need more money, blah, blah, blah. But the town itself it's a really happy town. I used to live in New Jersey back in the 60s and 70s.
Sorry.
It reminds me of New Jersey back in those days. It's a different type of people. We don't have all the crime and all the crazy stuff that goes on in the lower 48. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else in the country.
Which town in Jersey did you live in?
I lived in Livingston and Roseland.
Oh, sure. Did you go to Five Points for hot dogs when you lived in Roseland?
Five Points for hot dogs. Well, let me see. Was that back in the 70s?
It was always there. Or some people called it Peterson's. Some people called it Galloping Hill. Or Five Points. It was at the Five Points of Union and like a big intersection in Union. That's where it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I never heard of it. But I'll tell
That's okay.
I miss a restaurant that used to be, I think, on 46 or somewhere like that. It was called the Ponderosa. And they had, I'm a cheeseburger freak, and I have never found another place that had cheeseburgers. I don't think they're there anymore.
Well, a big problem, if you lived, I don't mean to interrupt you, but if you lived in Jersey, you know what pizza's supposed to taste like, Chinese, bagels. What do you get in Fairbanks?
Stop, well, you're killing
sorry,
me here.
Sorry.
Because I can't get that stuff here.
Right. What do you eat there? Emu? You just eat emu?
Moose, salmon, yeah. Whale blubber. Yeah. You know, it's wonderful. Lots of restaurants for that stuff.
I'm sure. Yeah. Sure. tell us about the snow.
Okay. Well, we just started getting snow about 10 days ago. My property's probably got about a foot of snow on it already. And we're expecting more. We usually get 4 feet, sometimes 5 feet of snow throughout the winter. But it's dry snow. You can't make a snowball in Alaska, in northern Alaska. It's powder. It's all powder. So it's easy to shovel and to plow. And we're expecting more snow. It almost snows every other day in Alaska, just a little bit. And over the course of a couple of months, you've got a bunch of feet of snow. And we're approaching our 24-hour darkness, winter solstice. We only get 4 hours of sunlight.
How long does that go on?
Not too long. It passes over a couple of months, maybe. In the summertime, we lose 6 minutes of light. Sunlight a day, and in the wintertime we gain 6 minutes of sunlight. So come the end of February into March, it's kind of back to normal. And then you have 24-hour sun in the summer, which is crazy because sometimes, and I've had this problem, I was asleep, I woke up, I looked at the clock, it said 2 o'clock, and I thought it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was late for some place, and I drove all the way down there, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I was like, it's amazing.
All right, now listen, do you know who this is to win the Sterling Prize Package?
Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
Who do you think that is?
Mary Poppins.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for calling Sterling every damn Sunday at 855-839-1210. Fairbanks, Alaska, 855-839-1210. I want to talk to you about your snow, because the rule of great radio is that if it's snowing outside, it's best to talk about the snow. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. This is the tackiest couple. I'm obsessed with this couple. I'm obsessed with Amy Robach and T.J. Holmes. They were the third-hour anchor on Good Morning America. I can imagine that conversation between the head of ABC News and Amy and TJ's agent. We think TJ and Amy are ready to do the second hour of Good Morning America. We don't think they need to be relegated to the third hour anymore. Oh, but you have to understand, the third hour is very important. The third hour comes on at 8 a.m. on the West Coast. They'll be waking up the whole West Coast. In fact, it's because of your sunny disposition, TJ and Amy, that we're going to urge you to be on at 11 to service the West Coast. I can service her plenty. I don't need to do it at 11. I think we should be on earlier. And that's how that conversation would have gone. So there they were, TJ Holmes and Amy Robach. We're hosting the third hour of Good Morning America, an hour you never saw because you have a job. And you don't live on the West Coast unless you're listening on KFBK or one of many other salmon-based radio stations. And then I didn't understand this. 3 years ago, this TJ and Amy, they started to bone. But they're both married, and they both have kids. They're both married. They both have kids. They're not 20. They're in their late 40s, early 50s, and they started boning. And then it became well known. Everybody at ABC knew this was going on. What I don't understand is under what clause did they get fired? They got fired for this. It was a major distraction in the workplace. Yeah, but it's not in their contract that they can't bone. It's not in their contract that they didn't work for each other. They were just co-workers. There was no power there. They were very equal in their quote-unquote power. The only people who should have been upset or concerned were their spouses. And even more amazing, Amy Robach was married to Billy. Andrew Hsu, Melrose Place. She was married to Billy, America's heartthrob in the 90s. She was married to him, Andrew Hsu. And instead, she runs off with her co-anchor. They get fired, and now they've been on this mission to have a life. They're not getting hired on TV. How long can they earn? How long can they live without any income for three? They're up to three and a half years. And then when I listen to them talk to each other, I just get very nervous.
45th birthday, and look, you don't like cake, so lemon meringue pie. That's one of your favorites, right?
What? Yes, I make a mean lemon meringue pie. Is that a pecan pie over there?
There's a pecan pie. There's a lot of different pies, because you're not a big cake guy.
I'm not a big cake guy. And I do like to eat my desserts with a fork, guys. be great.
Imagine living with either one of them, and that's all you've got. You're not going to work. Most of your friends, I'm sure, have ostracized you. You have been divorced by your spouses. I think one of them remarried. And you have children. You have children. And they find out that mommy or daddy was boning at work. Well, what they've come up with to redeem themselves now is what I'll share with you in just seconds, because I can't believe what they've foisted on the world as well. And, you know, we're thinking of doing this because we think it'll help our image. No. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. The copper bar is alive. Neon lights flicker. The patrons talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlight sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets his guy.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, a child sex predator who allegedly faked his own kidnapping 13 years ago to escape criminal charges was finally arrested last week in upstate New York while enrolled in a college under a fake name. Anthony Lennon, one of Oklahoma's 10 most wanted fugitives, was busted on October 30th after investigators discovered he was attending the State University of New York, or SUNY, Canton, under the alias Justin Phillips, according to police sources. He evaded justice for far too long and will now face the consequences of his actions, Oklahoma Attorney General Gunther Drummond said in a statement. The 44-year-old was first convicted in 2008 of child porn possession after a friend using his computer found 50 gigabytes of graphic child sex abuse, according to the Attorney General's office. He was sentenced to 20 years of hard labor, but was out on supervised release when he was charged with child possession again in 2012. However, when the police went to arrest Lennon at the motel at which he was working, he staged an elaborate and bloody abduction and robbery scene, leaving behind falsified evidence to make it appear that he had been abducted, according to the Moore Police Department. Police had received a call from the motel owner the night before Lennon was supposed to be collared, claiming he had disappeared overnight on March 11, 2012, according to the complaint. Detectives noticed a pool of blood, Lennon's shoes, shirt, buttons, bloody shoe prints, and money missing from the hotel drawer, the complaint said. After examining the crime scene, interviewing family members and friends and individuals in the community, it was determined that the circumstances were suspicious. Lennon had withdrawn all his money from his bank accounts before he vanished and avoided capture for 13 years, despite reported sightings from North Carolina to Texas. The fugitive got a state ID, birth certificate, and enrolled at SUNY Canton under the name Justin Phillips. He also made several attempts to get a passport, according to the complaint. Sure, he wanted to get out of the country. A SUNY Canton spokesperson told the Post he was suspended and banned from the campus the day of his arrest. Well, that's the least of his problems. He was arrested and interviewed under the false name, but fingerprints revealed he was really Lennon, according to the U.S. Marshals Service. Lennon, as Justin Phillips, had enrolled in the university's engineering science program in fall of 2024, and he was a full-time student and lived off campus. The student was only known to the college as Justin Phillips, and none of his records indicate that he had a prior identity, according to a spokesperson. Fortunately for everyone, this dirtbag was caught in upstate New York, and he'll be returned to the Oklahoma authorities, where hopefully this time they keep him locked away for a very long time and hopefully the rest of his life. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Sailing every night, lost in space. Mission control, baby shot.
Dave Scott, a known Canadian, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday night. Is this exciting for you? Is it a highlight of your career?
Number one, I can tell you this. I look forward to this show with the Midnight Misfits and mainly you each and every night. It is a highlight, yes.
Can you identify this voice to win a Sterling prize package? Oh, darn it. Of course I don't have everything ready. What's wrong with me?
Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
I'll let you hear it again. Who is this?
Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
You'd win a copy of my wife's book, Organize Your Way. You win a thermos from spacedoutradio.com. You win a kazoo and a gift from J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Who do you think that is?
Oh, goodness. I have no idea. I know
that. Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
B. Arthur. It's the only name I can come up with right now.
Why no? Not B. Arthur. And I'll give the first clue that I'm going to give tonight, which is she's incredibly famous, but not for that. All right.
Okay.
Now, what are your feelings as a Canadian about the Arctic Monkeys?
I have been on hiatus this past weekend because Mrs. Spaced Out Radio has been out of town. So I've been matching it with my son. It's only included football, hockey, and looking for Bigfoot.
Now, you know about the Arctic Monkeys. It's a Canadian band.
Nope, never heard of them.
I'll give you a sample.
Baby, I'm yours.
Now, obviously, you know the song.
No.
But the band, because they are very Canadian, I figured you'd know. And they actually have had hits, and they've been around about 20 years. But that's right. I did not know the Tragically Hip until I became aware of the Canadian culture, which I only became aware of about 10 years ago when I became aware of the country.
Well, you know, we like to stay invisible up here unless you have a prime minister who's an absolute doughhead, like we've had two in a row. Then it makes news down there.
Yes, it's astonishing. We're also talking about the fact that for the first time this year we're getting snow. This season we're getting snow. Have you had snow yet, Dave Scott, in Canada?
We have had snow, but it's melted. And yeah, you know what? It's warmed up a little bit here, just above freezing level, so I almost had to put a hoodie on.
Wow. So what do you wear outside? What's the temperature now? Like 30, 20? What is it?
Right now, I would say it's about 34, 35 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Yeah. Not balmy.
Now, it's still t-shirt weather.
Exactly. That's how you know if somebody's a tourist. If they're all bundled up right now in their winter coats, that only tourists would do that.
I have a good laugh because every winter, near the end of winter, early spring, I do a conference in San Francisco called UFOCon. And here I am walking around in shorts and, you know, a t-shirt. And I watch all of these Californians absolutely bundled up.
Right.
Like Jack Frost is about to nip off their nose. And I think it's absolutely hilarious.
Do you think you would reconsider the shorts? Do you really think that people at UFOCon need to see you in shorts?
Well, considering I have winter legs for most of the year, which is very pale white, probably not.
Right.
But, you know, every now and again, I don't get to California often. You know, I don't. So I got to take advantage of it.
What's going on in outer space that we need to know about, Mr. Scott?
Well, we have a couple of things going on. I know you like your 3i Atlas updates, which means that coming up around November 20th to 26th, which is about a week and a half, people who have a telescope should be able to see 3i Atlas flying around Mars. But here's the interesting part, Walter, that came up just a couple of days ago. When 3i Atlas was going around the sun, right behind him, he had a friend. He had a friend named K1 Atlas. Yeah. K1 Atlas comet is about 6 days behind 3i Atlas on earthly timelines. And K1 Atlas, though, is not doing the weird, strange stuff that 3i Atlas is. So they're wondering, are they friends maybe from an intergalactic space union somewhere, or are they actually, you know, something totally different? Because 3i Atlas has really, Walter, as you know, and we've talked about on this show, has been acting very strange recently regarding its perihelion around the sun, the way it's been making different turns. The tail has been at times inverted rather than behind the comet. Like, it just doesn't seem to be acting like a true comet. So it has a lot of scientists still messed up. But when they look at K1 Atlas, they're like, yeah, that's a comet. We can tell it's not doing anything out of the ordinary. It's like, you know, your most
boring newsman, news anchor at the local TV station that reads in one tone. That's K1 Atlas right now. Probably drives a beige Volvo, too. So it's very interesting, though, that all of a sudden this secondary comet, which was originally seen back near the end of May, is actually flying right near 3I Atlas.
But they're just flying near each other. Coincidentally, they don't seem to be formally related to each other. They're not
correct
orbiting the same way.
No, they are not. I mean, they're both on a similar trajectory to go towards Mars. But 3I Atlas has just been so unpredictable that they are studying this very hard. Avi Loeb, Harvard scientist, says we need to absolutely test and run tests. After 3I Atlas leaves our area and disappears back into the black, okay, totally going AC/DC song there, they have to run studies. They have to be able to take all the information from all of the space agencies and universities from around the world to try and figure out why this comet, if it is a comet, was riding around so strangely, because they cannot figure out the science. And the perfect example they have of that now is K1 Atlas and Comet Lemon that just passed by a couple of weeks ago. They're still trying to figure it out.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Do you have another report for us from Spaced Out Radio, or are you good?
No, I got one more for you quickly.
Go ahead.
You know, I came prepared tonight for you, number one.
Well, that's because you're a professional. You're a professional.
Thank you. Last week, we celebrated not only the 50th anniversary of the Travis Walton UFO affair, and this coming week, we'll be playing some audio on the show about that. But we also celebrated the 16th anniversary of the Chicago O'Hare UFO report. Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, Walter, but what happened was, at Chicago O'Hare, a bunch of United Airlines personnel on the ground actually saw a disc-shaped object that was hovering about 150, 200 feet above the airport. It was picked up on radar. It was there about 7 minutes and then shot off right into the clouds and actually made a hole, a round circle in the cloud that you could see right up through to the blue sky. Now, this has never been debunked. You know, yes, the skeptics will always have their say in things, but it's never been officially debunked. We don't know what it is. It was a perfect disc-shaped object that had no rectangular or square-type corners to it. It looked like a very long, stretched-out egg, and it took off just as quickly as it was seen, and nobody has seen it since.
And nobody could explain how it did that.
Nobody can explain how it did that. No, it's one of the most mystiquing sightings in North American recent history.
Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio, spacedoutradio.com, spacedoutradio.com, and you can hear every one of his shows on YouTube. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night. Ah!
Ian Gaffney here.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here with stories of living with our 8 children in our very old house.
Most of our appliances are almost as old.
I thought, it's a quiet week. I'm getting away with not having to do anything around the house major. Then we get the call. The stove blew up.
All right. And let me just say that I was not even in the room when you got the call. We were at the theater. I walk in. You're on the phone. And I turn to the guy that's next to me and I say, something's on fire at my house. Like, I knew from your demeanor that there had been some sort of fire,
yeah.
Which was also funny because that morning I went through the whole, here's the fire blanket. Let's go through the protocol of what we do if there's a fire and what happens.
I guess the heating element broke, blew up or something, causing some sparkage and fire and whatever. The kids handled it. The older kids handled it. Everything was cool. The next morning, I think, I'm just going to buy another element. I've done this before with this stove. I can buy the element and do it myself. Then I look at this stove. How long have we had this thing?
Okay, so let's just go through like the history.
It was a beater. Horrible. I'm not putting another dime in this thing.
And here's the history of our stoves. This is the first actual real stove that we've had since we've been in that house. And that's been 26 years now in that house. We've used the stove that was there. We've rewired it after, you know, tragedies with it. I've actually picked up two stoves that were nicer on the side of the road that people were getting rid of that we have installed, and we finally broke down, got this new stove, I don't know how many years ago, but it was not only exploded, but trash.
But it's been through the ringer, so off I went to the home store, bought the new stove, brought it in, did the whole thing. We got it in and installed. From the moment I decided we'd have to have an entire stove, all the way to the home store, picking it out, all the way back, unboxed, plugged in, rocking. We were cooking on it in less than 2 hours.
Right, we were. And I think the funniest part of that is that you just said, we got it installed. You stuck the plug in the wall, babe. You brought it in, the boys unboxed the thing, and you stuck the plug in the wall. That's the extent of the
install. 2 hours.
Another funny thing, though, that I will mention is that at this point in time in our lives, like at one point, I thought I'd have a new kitchen, you know, with cabinets that matched and appliances that matched, and it's really been the lowest man in the house, really, like paid least attention to, like whatever. There's a hole in the floor. We'll patch that up in the kitchen. We haven't gotten the new kitchen. You call me and you're like, well, the one that matches, the one that looks like the old one. And I'm like, just buy the cheapest, stupid. I don't care if it's avocado green. Get a stove and get it here. At this point, my kitchen has rustic charm. Let's go.
Follow me on Facebook. Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky Sterling every damn night.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
I don't know why I did it. I guess it's probably because I've got a big lesbian crush on you.
Well, what do you expect? We haven't done anything for months.
I mean, you never told me you were willing to pay.
Wait, what?
And that's why they say relationships are all about communication.
Women don't go out on girls' night out because they want to hang with their girlfriends. They go out on girls' night out because they want attention from other men. That's why they do it. Otherwise, they would stay at home and they would dance in their friend's house, or they would go out and they would be dressed in jeans and a t-shirt. They would not be half naked at the bar, drunk with their girlfriends. It doesn't make any sense.
I think you should put your worst foot forward for the first, like, at least 3 dates. Because I think it's fun, and I think you get to see how someone acts under pressure. And I think if you can research the person as much as possible, like if there's a lot of content about them online, perfect. If there's not, like LinkedIn, Facebook, everything, and then throw bits of like very niche information at them as much as possible and like critique it as much as you can and give like opinions on them and who they've been before you met them. It's like none of your business. And just see like what they do.
Walter M. Sterling, good evening. It's Sterling every damn Sunday. Welcome to a live radio show. From 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the East Coast, there's nothing else like it. Because if you've noticed, we have a very different playlist of subjects. We have, very different, and a very different playlist of songs.
Hot dog!
we got ears, it's time for cheers. Hot dog, no problem solved. Hot dog, hot diggity dog.
What a hot dog day!
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog! It's a brand new day, what you waiting for? Get up, stretch out, stop on the floor! Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog! Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog! We're splitting the scene, we're full of feet. So up for now, from Mickey Mouse! And the Mickey Mouse!
Like to win an official Walter M. Sterling kazoo? Would you like that? Well, I got you up there. I got you going. I know you were dozing off there in the 18-wheeler. Not a good plan. But here we are to keep you awake against your will. Usually you need a one-year-old to do that. But here I am to provide a very similar service. Who's this?
Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
855-839-1210, your last chance to win the Walter M. Sterling prize package, which consists of a spaced-out radio thermos, copy of my wife's book, Organize Your Way, a gift from J.B. Bakery, a kazoo. These are lusty kazoos. These are very good kazoos. The greatest thing about a kazoo is it will annoy anybody you're with. If there's somebody that you don't want to be with, somebody you're married to you don't want to be with, if you want to make your kids aware of how annoying they are in the car after hours, you just whip out your kazoo and you'll be able to demonstrate the height of annoyance. If you would like me to stop playing the kazoo, that has a price. The price is $1,000 to the Travis Mannion Foundation, totally appropriate on Veterans Day weekend. The Travis Mannion Foundation takes care of the families of people who were murdered while fighting in the military. They do an incredible work. Travis Mannion Foundation. Go to their website, donate $1,000. I will never play the kazoo again. That seems to me to be like a fairly a respectable price. That's all right. What else is in the package? Let's see. Copy of my wife's book, The Kazoos, the Spaced Out Radio Thermos, which is a really good thermos. It's not one of those cheap, sleazy ones, nor is it one of those ridiculous, oversized ones. Why did that happen? I have an answer for the supersize thermoses. A drinking fountain. Go down the hall to the drinking fountain. Just a suggestion. In order to win the prize package, who's this?
Is that all you have to say, considering that you were the primary force that escorted Bessie and I down this road to economic ruin?
855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Very exciting. But snow is the big news. There's snow in many places, including most of Ohio, Michigan, St. Louis, the St. Louis area. Snow. And you know what my people call it, don't you? We call it winter. Oh, look, it's an Arctic Express. The Polar Express. That's it. The Polar Express is coming. You mean winter? That's what we're getting all excited about? I have a wacky, contrarian point of view. You'd never believe that. Go out and enjoy the snow. Yeah, you put on, dress for it. Part of the reason you hate the snow is you put your good shoes on and then you go out in the snow and go, oh my God, this is horrible. Well, you could do better than putting on your good shoes and going out in the snow. You could be a grown-up, take them off, put on the appropriate footwear, and then you'll have a good time in the snow. Right? I'm Walter M. Sterling. Email is waltermsterling@gmail.com. Website, spectacular website, waltersterlingshow.com. Waltersterlingshow.com. You will enjoy that website. You'll learn everything about the show. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart Sterling every damn night.
Keep it classy, Virginia. Dumfries, Virginia. Inside a Walmart, a feller was running around the store as naked as the day he was born. Yeah, he went through, and it's 9 a.m. 9 a.m. on the Richmond Highway, and he was just running around. He chasing customers, by the way. I'm going to tell you something. You're inside any store, and you notice somebody running at you and they're naked, you're running the other way. Yeah, you're going completely the other way. The feller is a young guy, 20-year-old Lance Irving Lassane Jr. Yes, reportedly under the influence. 9 in the morning, running around the store naked. Yeah, that's probably a good thing that he was, let's say, a little drunk or high or whatever he was on. 20 years old is not too old to change it around. It's called rock bottom, people. And Walmart, in many locations, have a great selection of alcoholic beverages. And perhaps this feller needs to just pass that by. He needs to go to an AA meeting, meet that feller, Bill W., and do the 12-step thing. He has a lot going for him, this young man. Obviously, a little bit of a hustler and willing to put himself out there in a Walmart. Thinking through life, we've all made mistakes. If you've not run through a Walmart naked yet, what's wrong with you? Yeah, probably nothing. You're probably doing pretty good. I haven't done it either. And perhaps this is a stunning new trend that'll take over the nation. Isn't that exciting? I think it's good. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling. Every night, study books, rusty books, get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime. Natalie danced her fingers down to the waistband of my pants and gave it a little tug. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I guess I thought there was a chance our date could end up like this. All the blood in my body rushed between my legs. Next time, I should just let you plan everything, then. Her bare skin beckoned to me. I cupped the swell of her hips, giving them a playful squeeze. Her back arched and she rubbed against me. This time, I couldn't prevent the groan from escaping my mouth. She bestowed another swift kiss upon my lips, her face hovering close to mine. If you're leaving it up to me, do you want to go upstairs? I struggled to think clearly. I don't know. This carpet is pretty soft and fluffy. She burst out laughing, extricated herself from my grasp, and scrambled to her feet. Come on, she said, jerking my wrist. I stood and let her lead me toward the staircase. After a few steps, though, she froze. Hold on a second. My heart lurched. What's wrong? Turning around, she fiddled with the ends of her hair. Okay, so maybe I didn't consider all the details in anticipation of our date today. She offered me a bashful smile. My bedroom is kind of a disaster right now, so can you give me, 5 minutes to straighten up a little bit? I fought the urge to laugh. I promise you, I am not thinking about how neat your bedroom is, nor will I judge your housekeeping skills. Her shoulders slumped as she pleaded with me. No, it's really bad. She took another step toward the stairs, but I seized her elbow and pulled her back. After all this time, I said, snaking one arm around her waist, I'm afraid to let you go for too long. Another frenzied kiss punctuated my statement. Natalie laced her fingers behind my neck, her tongue swirling around mine as she melted back into my embrace. After a moment or two, she swiveled away from me and made a beeline for the stairs. 5 minutes! Already, the room seemed colder without her. Knowing what it was like to touch her and have her touch me in return, I couldn't get enough. I caught up to her before she reached the first step and spun her around. Jonathan, she squealed. Our lips collided before she could say anything else. One of my hands tangled in her hair while she folded her arms around me, slipping beneath my shirt to skim her palms over my back. I shuddered at the contact, driven wild with desire. I needed more from her, needed more of her. Waiting was impossible. Snippets of what we'd experienced so far with each other flashed through my mind, and an idea began to take shape. Without releasing her, I guided her to the piano, nudging her toward the bench. She sat down, facing away from it. I kissed her once more, then knelt on the floor, much like I had when she'd played for me, though this time I positioned myself between her legs. I gazed up at her while my hands glided over her thighs. Her face was flushed, her lips parted as her chest rose and fell with heavy breaths. With deliberation, I folded up the bottom of her dress, exposing the black lace triangle of her thong. As I prepared to remove it, I remembered something crucial. Reaching around her, I closed the lid of the piano, protecting the keys. She giggled and leaned back, propping herself up on one elbow. I returned to my previous task and hooked one finger into either side of her thong. Her hips lifted off the bench, allowing me to slide her panties down and off. Oh, I had better stop here for tonight before we are all in a world of trouble. But you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime, which is available at Amazon on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Music director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations Frank Canal. Sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres. Voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brooke and Matus Bumball, Baked Goods Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Quantum Physics, Dave Scott, a Canadian. Ross Coulthart, an Australian. Skullduggery, Vic Ferrari. Blessings, Father James Drucker. Meteorologist, Dr. Dave Iser. Writer, Jerry the Writer. Business Guidance, Craig Kitchen. Program originated by Chris Olivero. Long-suffering executives, David Gadgroff and Greg Stalker. With respect, Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard. A great